So I told you I wanted to give you a few guys that I thought had really good practices.
Yes, indeed.
Rookie wide receiver Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, Danny, continues to impress me. I have low expectations for him this season, specifically because I think the role he's mostly going to play in this offense is the Deebo Samuel role of, like, jet action in the backfield, some bubble and screen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if Deebo's healthy, that's going to be him. But also because last year, you know, Jalen Lane is a wide receiver at Virginia Tech, caught only 38 balls. It wasn't like he was overly involved. For his college career, he had a couple hundred catches, mostly at Middle Tennessee State. Last 2 years at Virginia Tech, he caught 79 balls in the ACC. But I will say today, he caught two long balls where he got wide open deep from Sam Hartman. One was on like a deep corner route where Hartman rolled out against his arm to the left out of the pocket and kind of set and threw, and Lane was behind everybody and would have scored on a long touchdown. Another was on a seam shot down the field where he just got behind his assignment and made a really nice hands catch. But he is just extremely noticeable. I was standing next to Brian Mitchell as he was, you know, scoring one of the touchdowns, and B. Mitch was saying, like, he just keeps making plays. That's all you can do. And he's listed. I've stood next to him. He's not a big guy, like around 5'10-ish maybe, but he's got speed. He's got twitch. He's got some wiggle in the open field. I am 100% intrigued by Jalen Lane.
I wonder what, if everything was ideal and he had every opportunity and was, you know, fed the ball appropriately, et cetera, what his ceiling is. Because I just don't know. You mentioned the college production. And Middle Tennessee State was a 70-catch, 940-yard receiver. I have no idea who they're playing against. I don't know if that's valid, not valid, whatever. Then at Virginia Tech, quarterback issues abound. Got used, you know, almost as much in terms of jet sweeps and those kind of actions as they did throwing the football. But that doesn't necessarily tell you all the traits. It doesn't tell you that had he gone somewhere else more prolific or the more wide open offense or an air raid type system, what could he have done? I don't know. But the things that you haven't seen from college are some of the route running, the precision, what can you do in the full route tree, et cetera. I still don't know that. I can't. That's one of those guys that I cannot wait to see in preseason.
Well, he told us when we talked to him after the draft, if you remember, that he thought he was going to bring speed, the ability to get open down the field. And you've seen that in practice. Whether that translated in the game or not, I'm not sure. But how I would say it is kind of what you just said, which is we are closing in on a preseason game against the New England Patriots. It'd be great to be there and to be lucky enough to be at that practice. It's on the road. I'm not traveling. Because the 11-on-11 work would be great as well. It's the same as a game, essentially. Might even be more helpful to dictate who's what and who's not. Just to watch those situations, those game reps that you're getting. But in the preseason game, I'm guessing that a guy like that is going to play a lot. Especially without Terry McLaurin. It's not like you're going to have Deebo Samuel playing in that game for more than a series, if at all. So that means someone like Jalen Lane's going to get reps. And I am fired up to watch him. I mentioned Sam Hartman threw him both of those passes. Hartman had a really good day today. And I've kind of been wondering, does he just go on the practice squad again, or does he make the team? You've got Jaden Daniels as your starter, and Marcus Mariota as your backup. There are two other quarterbacks at camp. It's Hartman in year two, and then Josh Johnson, who they brought in, who has played for a near record amount of teams at the quarterback position. Start at camp, I would have bet Josh Johnson's the three, just like Driscoll was the three last year, and Hartman just remains on the practice squad. And that might actually be what they do and what they're thinking. I don't know. Is someone going to pluck Sam Hartman? Probably not. I mean, unless you get points for having a handsome quarterback in your building. Is that something you're necessarily going to waste a roster spot to bring in Hartman as a number three? They could probably put him on the P squad, but you developed him last year. You spent a lot of time, a lot of energy with him. I'd imagine he's gotten a lot better from being in your building. I like how he's performing. Is there a chance he could be their third quarterback and you lop off what was Driscoll last year, and instead of having two veteran backups, you just have the one with Hartman as a three? Would that be an issue for anybody? I don't think that would be a problem.
I don't think so. I mean, again, at some point you got to let the bird that's been in the cage fly. And what I mean is you how many mentors does somebody need, right? Like Driscoll, who's been around, who's a journeyman to do what Mariota's doing. It's almost like a repeat situation. At some point, you're going to let these guys grow together. And you let Jaden Daniels go from neophyte rookie to, he's not a rookie anymore. I mean, he's got legend of the NFC title game. Now kind of allow him to sort of assert more comfort. And, so I wouldn't necessarily hesitate to have a younger player with not a lot of experience as part of that quarterback room as the third guy.
Now, here's an observation, and if you go out there as a fan, you might see some of this stuff that I've had for 2 years, which is when you're doing things where you're just throwing the football or like four guys are side by side going through quarterbacking drills, I think Hartman never stands out. He does not have an arm at what I would even say like average NFL level. The example I'll give you is you've seen, I'm sure, a million times the videos and the pictures of them throwing the ball into the net.
Uh-huh.
They do it every practice. Like just the couple of times I've watched, Josh Johnson's really good at that. Jaden Daniels is probably the best at that. Marcus Mariota has some success. It seems like if I was to rank the four of them, Hartman would probably not be high on that list. And I'm not saying that means anything. In fact, I would say that it doesn't really. But when they're all in a line dropping back to throw the football, same thing. You're seeing who spins it, what's it look like. And Jaden Daniels stands out. I would say Hartman's kind of the opposite of that. But I do think when you get an 11-on-11, and you see this in his career when he was at Notre Dame or before that at Wake, maybe he's a gamer. He's got some Heinicke to him, but mm-hmm. he just doesn't play in games. Like, what if you're a gamer that never plays in a game? I think there's a little bit of like a Taylor Heinicke to Sam Hart.
Yeah, that was sort of the Case Keenum deal or Colt McCoy, where it's like he's not going to wow you in shorts and a t-shirt.
Think baseball. Bullpen session, you're not walking away impressed.
Yeah, like
you get him out there and he's adding, subtracting, and he's competing and he's setting guys up and reading swings. Maybe he could be effective.
You remember Chad Cordero, who was awesome, came in studio with us, like talking about his bullpen session where he was throwing like 88, bounced a bunch of sliders, and he's like, oh my God, I'm not even getting drafted, let alone, you know, where he ended up going. Comes in and has an unbelievable career because they saw something. It was more than just, you know, as you said, what the radar gun said.
So two other quick observations from practice today. Quan Martin had a really good sequence. He's had a good camp in general, but back-to-back plays, batted ball at the line of scrimmage, leaping on a blitz, and then he had a TFL, or would have been a TFL, where he thumped Austin Eckler in the backfield. But I thought it was interesting they were bringing him downhill a lot in what was a red zone period, but I would say even more like a goal to go. It seemed to me like they were set up around the 9 or 10 yard line running goal line stuff from basically the high goal line area. And I thought he did just a couple of things that stood out and showed speed, but he's had a good camp and he's turned into a nice player. So Quan Martin, I'll give a star two for today. And then lastly, I know people are probably tired of hearing about this, and this has already become too much in terms of the hype train, but really nice day for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt again. He had one particular run off the edge on a stretch run, where he kind of super patient behind pullers, think like Portis behind Mike Sellers back in the day, where he's like waiting, hits the hole, jump cuts, gets to the edge, gets angled out of bounds, picked up like 10, 12 yards. But Deebo Samuel came run. He was on the sideline, not even on the field, comes running over to dap him up. It was one of those plays where if you're watching it, you go, damn, that was pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
And he has a few of those, uh-huh. You know, where there's a little bit of burst. They had another drill today where running backs were working on jumping over these bags, like goal line, can you leap over the pile, I guess is the idea. Think about when you're trying to go over the top of the O-line, D-line to plunge into the end zone. And at the end of practice, of the running backs that were still doing this, earlier in the day, Austin Eckler, I guess, had successfully jumped over four. Like, he was the only guy after practice who was tired, spent, sweaty, whatever, who could clear four bags. I mean, it's a huge vertical. I mean, this would have been like a human, like a dunk contest.
Right.
Like, bring me out there, you have to jump over me. Like, he was the
basically
only one
that, a couple steps and a high jump over four. Yeah.
Chris Rodriguez was like plunging into all four bags. Brian Robinson like wasn't really getting close. Merritt just comes up twice, does it. He went for five and almost did that. But he's clearly a pretty explosive athlete. I just like what I see. Now, until he plays in a game, none of it matters. But you want to talk about being excited for Jalen Lane against the Patriots next week? Merritt is on the short list.
I got to figure it out. I mean, the whole goal is to figure out what's real in the preseason and what's not. I mean, you've seen so many stellar preseason performances, and around here, it's what we majored in for decades. But every once in a while, when the quarterback is tearing it up, and you go, maybe that guy should be the starter. He should be. See Gus Frerotte, or see Trent Green, or see some of the guys that stood out as the second or third dude, and eventually they got the call and were pretty good. You're just sort of looking for some of those traits. It's so hard to tell when the other team's not scheming. It's hard to tell when you're going against guys that they're going to be delivering furniture in a couple of weeks. You never really know until, as you said, the real lights come on and everything, but you could sort of see signs. You could look for those kind of moments. I mean, to me, that it's like NBA Summer League to a degree, where the only thing I care about is if you can't do it at all. If you can't do it there, we have an enormous problem. I won't know for sure that you're 1,000-yard back and waiting if you tear up the Patriots second team, but I'd rather see that than not.
Yeah, you got to show me something.
Uh-huh.